You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, excursions, and more in one place. There are over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from, so you can find something for everyone. And Viator offers free cancellation and 24/7 customer support for worry-free travel. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5HOURENERGY.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HOURENERGY.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.
It ain't the left side or the right side.
Thank you, Solo D. Welcome to another episode of On the Fin Side here with Kat and Paul. Follow us on Facebook, Twitter, Spreaker, iTunes, YouTube, iHeartRadio, and Spotify. I'm Brian Kat NFL on Twitter. Paul is Fanatic _ Pick. With everybody inside here in March and April, with the world changing, we're continuing to run through our positional previews for the 2020 NFL Draft through the lens of what the Miami Dolphins might do and a little bit about what we would do if we were in the GM chair. We will get through all these positions here in April, so be sure to keep checking back. We're going to be pumping out shows here over the next few weeks. I expect a few truths to be brought up here in the Dolphins war room about the wide receiver position, because, there are a couple of things that are in contrast here. Because, one, we knew at the end of the 2019 season that wide receiver was one of the best, one of the deepest positions on the roster. But also, this isn't an unusually deep wide receiver class. I mean, Kiper and McShay both said that 20 to 25 wide receivers could go in the first three rounds when typically you have only about 15 to 17 on that. I did my consensus big board, and of the top 52 players, 11 of them were wide receivers. And we also know, too, that Chan Gailey is going to use a lot of 3, 4, 5 wide receiver sets. So we could see the Dolphins carrying 6 or 7 wide receivers here on the 53-man roster. So your impressions of this draft class at wide receiver?
The draft class is absolutely completely stacked at wide receiver. You're going to get, you know, a second or third round talent in the fourth or fifth round. And that's something to be mindful of. Miami is stacked at the wide receiver position right now. But Devontae Parker, good, healthy, finally getting it, finally producing, good to go. Preston Williams, not even a one-year wonder yet. As much as I like the guy and I love his physical ability, coming off a decent injury, let's see how he responds. Jakeem Grant, coming off multiple injury seasons, despite the fact I love the guy, you know he's one of my favorite players on the team, awesome person, great receiver, outplays his stature by a long shot, plays with a chip on his shoulder, always a threat to take it to the house, but again, injury concerns. Albert Wilson, switchblade player, injury concerns. Isaiah Ford, unproven, showed promise last year. And then Allen Hurns, I don't think any of us are fooling ourselves that he's going to be a quality number two starter even. Yeah, he's a role player off the bench that's going to come in and play some possession games for you, maybe do okay once in a while, but again, has an injury history as well. So it's a very deep position that could get very thin in an instant and has over the past few years. So if you have that ability to overdraft a player in a later round than their value truly is at, you have to consider that fact as you go there.
Yeah, that's well put. And that's what the Dolphins have to look at here, wide receiver. I mean, we've both done a few Dolphins mock drafts with all 14 picks. And typically, we don't have a wide receiver going in any of those spots. But that doesn't mean that they won't take one because of what you just mentioned there. Because the Dolphins could be sitting in a spot where they're there at 70 and be like, man, we did not expect Laviska Shenault or Brandon Ayuk or Jalen Reagor to be here. But because of how deep the class is, we may see that. And you even get down to, I mean, the fourth round, you saw some players like KJ Hill from Ohio State and Van Jefferson from Florida start to stick out during Senior Bowl week with their route running skills. They could very easily be that third or fourth receiver for the Dolphins as we're sitting here in 2021.
And I hate to say it this way, as good as the wide receiver position is, and as much as the Dolphins don't have a need there and have needs in other areas, like you and I have talked about this, I don't want Miami to come out of the first round without a left tackle, if at all possible. You know, but if you're sitting there at 18, or if you trade back from 5 with, say, the Raiders and manage to swap your number 5 pick for their 2 firsts, and CD is still sitting on the board, if you've got the opportunity to grab the next potential Larry Fitzgerald and you don't take it, the fans will be kicking you in the shins over and over again years from now that you let him slide by, unless you get a lights out player. And even then, you're going to have folks that are going to be just kicking themselves and kicking you for the fact that you let a Larry Fitzgerald slide, because you're pretty good at wide receiver right now. So it's, if you feel CD is the next Larry Fitzgerald and he's sitting there at 18, it would be very hard to pass him up unless there's something else on the board that meets that need.
Yeah, and I'm one of the biggest proponents of not drafting wide receivers in the first round, but CeeDee Lamb, somebody I'm willing to break the rules for. I think overall on my Dolphins big board, he's 15th, and wide receiver for me, in my mind, is not a need for the Dolphins at all. But yeah, you said Larry Fitzgerald. I've always said DeAndre Hopkins, and you know, he hasn't. Incredible ability to separate, and he's great after the catch too. So he's actually a lot better than Hopkins after the catch. Magnetic hands, really does it all. And to pass up, if the Dolphins are in a situation where, okay, we've got 4 or 5 offensive tackles off the board, and we don't want to take Austin Jackson here at 18. I hope they don't. Gosh, we'll get into that in another show. But if you say, yeah, but we don't need a wide receiver, so we're going to pass on CeeDee Lamb, I don't think that would be a good thing. Also, too, Paul, when you look at past CeeDee Lamb, it seems like you've got 3 clear-cut first-round picks, and then you've got a cluster of wide receivers from 4 to about 11. The top 3 guys are, in no particular order, CeeDee Lamb. Then you've got both Alabama receivers. Jerry Jeudy, very precise route runner. And you've got Henry Ruggs, who ran a 4.27, actually disappointed a lot of people by running a 4.27 there. So we know that we'd break the rules here as far as team need by drafting CeeDee Lamb a little bit earlier. Jerry Jeudy, Henry Ruggs, are those 2 players that you would consider there in the first round if they fell to, say, pick 26?
God, I haven't even thought about Jeudy falling to 26. That's how unlikely that scenario is. It's I'm going to say it bluntly, and this is also the impression I have of Chris Greer and the Dolphins front office. If you have the ability to draft a player, regardless of your team needs, as far as BPA goes, if they are clearly head and shoulders above anything else that is there at that draft pick, you have 2 options. Take that BPA regardless of position. If they're clear cut the better player than anybody else out there, or use that to facilitate a trade down to accumulate picks, slide back a few, and then your BPA at that point in time is more in an area of need, and you've accumulated ammunition to restore a few other positions as well. But again, if Jeudy's there at 26, I'd be hard-pressed not to take him if you can't find a trade partner, because there should be nothing else better than him on the board at that point.
Yeah, Jeudy is expected to go, and let's be clear, he's expected to go in the top 10 or 15 picks, but wide receivers can fall on draft day. And I don't expect him to be there at 26, but just from a value perspective, that's where my question's coming from. Yeah, Henry Ruggs is also is somebody that's going to go likely somewhere in the first round. And, you know, he blew a lot of people away by running in the 4.2s. But when I watched him play, I thought he was a 4.2 type of player. He's got great speed. He's got a pretty good overall game. But at 5'11", 188, I already knew he was a fast player. So him running 4.27 didn't exactly elevate him a lot on my board because I already knew what we were getting there. So, Ruggs, I don't think quite brings that special skill set that Lamb and Judy can both bring.
And I'm going to jump in there too. It's Ruggs isn't even the number three on my board. It's T. Higgins is still above him for me. I put Ruggs in the same bucket as Jalen Reagor, guys that I think should go in the first round, but I don't know if they do.
Yeah, T. Higgins is somebody I know you like a lot more than me. And I really like parts of T. Higgins' game. I mean, 6'4", 215 with a huge catch radius and very good speed for his size. I see parts of his game that are A.J. Green-like. My question becomes, and you said, I'm not getting, I haven't got to the bad part yet. The bad part of it, I don't think he's very physical at the point at the catch point for somebody that size. And I have questions about, you talk about best player available. Yeah, I agree. Preston Williams just flashed for half a year, but he was also very impressive throughout the summer. One of the talks of preseason there too. If you have Higgins, Preston Williams, and Devontae Parker on the same team, both outside boundary receivers at 6'4", 6'5", 220 pounds, I just don't see how you're getting all three of them on the field.
You could have an awfully pretty red zone offense in that spread that Chan Gailey likes to run. And you add in, Jesus Christ, I'm blanking right now. But I mean, you add in the tight end position. Yeah, if you add in Gesicki. Wow, I can't believe I just blanked on that. You add in Gesicki to that mix, and you've got a valid running game. Your quarterback almost just has to do a quick scan of the field and figure out where he's throwing a lollipop to on the fade route. Because you've got so many tree trunks out there that somebody's going to be mismatched against a smaller coverage guy or a linebacker that's trying to cover this monstrous guy that you can throw the ball up and they're going to beat 100 times out of 100 unless they draw pass interference as well. I mean, your red zone offense is going to be spectacular. So it's a good problem to have, and it's one I could go with.
I'm sure it will. I just don't see a way that you're getting all four of those guys on the field unless it's in the red zone. Because you've really got to diversify your offense to have some slot players and to get running backs on the field. Hey, look, Higgins is a talented player. He's one that I point to as one that I wouldn't want the Dolphins to draft. I know it'll be interesting where it goes because he's one of your favorite players. For the Dolphins, he's one of my least favorite players. So we'll take a look here and revisit this in the next couple of years. Looking at the rest of the class. Laviska Shenault is somebody that's been talked about from Colorado, and 6'1", 227, beefed up a lot, didn't run as well at the combine, and he's had a lot of injury problems at Colorado. Now, on one hand, I view this guy as a more beefed up version of Albert Wilson, has got a lot more of that buildup speed as opposed to explosiveness. But I also don't know if he's going to be able to step in, play at that same level of physicality and not get hurt, which he did several times there at Colorado. So we'll see with him. But the two wide receivers I really like, and I would give strong consideration for at 56 or 70, is Jalen Reagor from TCU. Explosive player, can play inside, can play outside. And he went from almost 1,100 yards in 2018 to about 650 there in 2019, largely because the quarterback play was so bad. Brandon Ayuk is more of a one-year player, but I compare him a lot to Isaac Bruce. He's smooth in and out of his cuts, natural hands, and somebody that I think in a pinch can line up in the slot too, but would offer a different skill set than Devontae Parker or Preston Williams. So, Paul, a lot of players stacked up there in that 4 through 11 range with T. Higgins being one of those guys.
And another one that we want to consider here, too, that I don't believe you've mentioned yet, is Justin Jefferson at LSU. He was amazing in all areas of his game for Joe Burrow this year. He was one of the best receivers on the field in any game he was in, and that goes up against a number of the guys we've already mentioned And anytime you've got a 1,500-yard receiver, 111 catches, 18 touchdowns, who has the athletic ability to go up and get the ball over a defensive back and can run those routes that are going to create separation, and can take the top off the defense, even if it's not quite in that Henry Ruggs category or the Jalen Reagor category, you've got to consider the guy if he slides further than he should. Jefferson's another one we've got to look at here.
Yeah, Jefferson is somebody who played almost exclusively in the slot with LSU. And that's mm-hmm. not necessarily a bad thing as far as how he transitions. He's a different type of slot receiver where he's 6'1", 202 pounds. He's not that Wes Welker type of slot player, but he can offer a lot more vertically. And he's surprised a lot of people by running a 4.43 40 as opposed to maybe a 4.55 or a 4.6. And he's somebody, too, that's a very, very good – he's a smart receiver in the slot. And his ability to just get open for Joe Burrow contributed a lot to his success there at LSU. Another player, too, is somebody who's not the greatest fit and not somebody I'd consider in the first round or probably unless he fell down to pick 70 in the third round, is Michael Pittman from USC. He's 6'4", 220, more of a boundary receiver, but did get some looks there in the slot, too. Intelligent player. And when I look at him, I compare him a lot to Michael Thomas from the Saints, who actually went late in the second round in that draft, right around that same point, because he's so smooth. And he's actually the son of a former Bucks and Cardinals running back, Michael Pittman Sr., obviously, who was the Bucks running back in the Super Bowl about 15, 16 years ago. So there's a lot of potential here in those top players. KJ Hamler from Penn State, 5'9", buck 78. He's a player I'm not as high on. I know the speed and I know it's a speed game. Dropped 12 passes at Penn State, according to PFF, this past year. And a lot of people throw the word DeSean Jackson around like it's nothing. I think DeSean Jackson glides a lot more. It looks like he's running on water as opposed to KJ Hamler. So if you put Hamler in the slot, I think he's going to bust some big plays, but he reminds me more of a player from about 10 years ago. Lions wide receiver Titus Young, who, you know, he was great in college, has a lot of speed, didn't quite transition as well to the NFL because the Lions had a hard time putting him in a certain place and getting consistent production out of him.
Yeah, Hamler, God, it's I like the way that you described that. I mean, he's not gliding out there. And I'll take it a step further. He looks like he's running on PCP instead of gliding down the field. He's one of those prototypical tiny speed guys. They're going to break a lot of plays for you, but they're going to blow a lot of plays for you too. His hands need to improve, and that's a tough thing to improve if they haven't by now. Gabriel Davis out of Central Florida, however, he's got a little bit of size to him. He's not quite your Preston Williams, Devontae Parker size guy, but he's got enough to make use of it. And he makes athletic plays all over the field. You look at how he progressed from his sophomore to junior year. He had 815 yards on 53 catches for 7 touchdowns as a sophomore, improved that to 72 catches for 1,241 yards and 12 touchdowns, and looked like a much better player out on the field. So he's another guy that if he slides to the late third, early fourth, and you happen to pick up a few picks, is worth a look. I'm not sure if you mentioned it yet because we've thrown out so many names already, but have you talked about Claypool out of Notre Dame?
Yeah, in fact, we haven't because he's a wide receiver slash tight end. But, you know, I think he can really project at either spot because he showed up to the combine unexpectedly at 238 pounds, and everyone's like, okay, well, he's gonna work out as a tight end. And then he runs a 4.48, and people are thinking, wait, maybe he might be a wide receiver.
That's a good problem to have, and that's honestly, for me, Flores, like, for versatile players is not exclusive to the defense. On a conference call this week with Kyle Van Noy, you know, he was talking to those of us on there about the fact that he's not a linebacker. He's not a defensive end. He's a football player. At the end of the day, Chase Claypool is a football player on offense. He's the type of player that Brian Flores likes because you get multiple uses out of the guy. And just because he's on the field, the defense can't make their adjustments right off the rip until they get set. And by that point, it might be too late for substitution. So you can create some intriguing mismatches by having the Chase Claypool types out on the field. The guy that can come in and play tight, can kick out and play on the boundary. So, yeah, Chase Claypool is a guy I would consider if we're talking about the fourth rounder later.
Right. And again, Chase Claypool has no business being in the fourth round, but somebody who has no business being in the fourth round is going to be there. Because I don't care what Kiper and McShay say, you're not going to have 25 receivers going in the top 100 picks. So somebody's going to slide down. And we still have more receivers, too, that fit that mold that could fall down to pick 141 in the fourth round. Lynn Bowden from Kentucky played quarterback there, kind of like with Randall Cobb back in, 2011. He's going to make the adjustment to wide receiver, somebody who's flying under the radar because he doesn't have a lot of experience there. But in terms of his skill set, a very well-rounded player. Donovan Peoples-Jones from Michigan, this was the top recruit coming out of high school, three, 4 years ago, and was kind of a disappointment in Michigan, but didn't have very good quarterback play either. But he goes to the combine and challenges Byron Jones's vertical record. I think Byron Jones had 44 and a half and Peoples Jones had 40. So the physical talent is certainly there. And at the end of the fourth round, maybe somebody that you want to take a look at. Two players that were very productive at college, both on the same team from Texas, Devin Duvernay. Had 106 catches there from the slot, is really primarily a slot receiver, which is what the Dolphins need. Doesn't quite offer that long speed that you can find out of a KJ Hamler, but still somebody that knows how to get open there right around the hash marks. Colin Johnson is somebody I don't expect to be on the Dolphins board. He is strictly that king size boundary receiver at 6'6", 220, but he had some injury problems this past year, but the year before was a projected first or second round pick. And proof why you don't go back to college when you have a first round grade. So, Paul, we've mentioned about 25 receivers here. Quentin Cephas from Wisconsin as well unexpectedly came out early, ran a 4.7. So he was taken off a lot of boards, but Wisconsin squeaked in their pro day before the coronavirus situation happened. Improve that time to the mid 4.5s, but I love him after the catch. So we've talked about, 20-25 receivers here. Anybody else that sticks out for you?
One of the guys that I think we haven't really touched deeply on anyway, that's worth a look. And I'm hopeful if we get down to the sixth round and he's still on the board or even in the seventh when Miami has a number of picks, KJ Hill out of Ohio State. He's not the biggest. He's not the fastest. He's a beautiful route runner. He's got great hands. He can make people miss after the catch and fights for every yard he can get without being a fumbling liability. And, you know, you look back at guys like, I'm going to mention OJ McDuffie here, when he came out, he wasn't anybody that was going to blow you away in any one area, but being as solid as he was in multiple areas made him that reliable player that was effective for the team for years to come. You know, you look at like an Aronde Gadsden, who's not going to blow you away in any area, but his route running and ability to catch the ball again. So there is a role for KJ Hill if he is available when Miami's there in the sixth or seventh and they filled needs and they're just looking for BPA and want to get a guy that can come in and be a reliable threat to maybe not take it to the house every play, but when you get there on third down, you know you can count on that guy to sneak under and get it done. He's somebody that has the potential to be better than Allen Hurns and be better very quickly.
Yeah, I could see him slipping into Allen Hurns' role. And he was a clear-cut day three pick up until the combine. And then, up until Senior Bowl week, where I think a lot of people thought he was just another guy heading down there. And then he goes down there, and he was the talk of Senior Bowl week. Very similar to Terry McLaurin, his teammate the year before that, where McLaurin was thought of as a day three guy, went down, was the best wide receiver there, at least in drills. And then he ends up being, a lot of people thought he could go first round, ended up going in the third round. Hill will probably be drafted a little bit lower than that. And that's perfect value, as you described it, Paul, because he's 24 years old. He's 6 foot, 195 pounds, runs a 4.6, but just gets open and is a very good route runner. And a player like that who doesn't jump off the page and is 24 years old is somebody who could probably fall down to that fifth or sixth round area where he would be great value. I know KJ Hill's always been kind of your guy that you've had as that realistic type of pick for the Dolphins. My guy that I'm looking at in the fourth or fifth round where the Dolphins could pull the trigger at wide receiver he's a running back slash wide receiver from the University of Memphis, and that's Antonio Gibson. He's 6 foot, 228 pounds, and when I watched him at wide receiver with that stocky build and getting open and breaking tackles after the catch, I'm not saying he's Jarvis Landry, but I saw a little bit of that in him and his ability to just catch the ball, break a couple of tackles, and get another 15 yards after the catch. He's also one of the best kick returners and punt returners here in the draft too. So if Jakeem Grant doesn't pick it up this year, or he's gone before we even get to the 2020 season, which is an outside possibility, we may be talking about Antonio Gibson as somebody who could slide right into that role too. So Paul,
yeah.
Man,
I got more. two guys I just want to touch on really quick. Somebody that could be later undrafted but has good size and decent speed was Aaron Parker out of Rhode Island. He's 6'2", 210, and he runs in that 4.5 range. And again, he's a late rounder, possibly undrafted, but he's a really good player at shielding with his body. He hasn't gotten a lot of looks being from such a small school in such a small state, but he's a guy that could get out there and potentially outshine his draft position as well. And then one guy that I did talk about briefly already on our tight end segment, Dez Patman out of Washington State. He's a guy that may not excel as a wide receiver, but again, if an NFL team has the foresight and Patman is willing, where they could teach him to block a little bit in line, suddenly you've got a guy that you can flip back and forth between tight end and wide receiver, like we talked about with a few players already, and can become that ridiculously effective player out on the field with a size mismatch when you kick him wide, but the ability to come inside and be an athletic mismatch against most linebackers out there or safeties. So again, there are a few players here that are right on the cusp of being convertible to other positions that may be a cast off at wideout, but if you're using them as a switchblade, suddenly get better, not just at one position, but two.
Yeah. And I'd say to round that out, the late round possibilities too. A couple guys I'm looking at. In fact, you mentioned the wide receiver from Rhode Island. I've got another one from Rhode Island, which shows how many there are. And this is somebody that NFL.com's Gil Brandt thinks could be a very, very deep sleeper. That's Isaiah Coulter there. He's just a very good blend of size and speed. I mean, from Rhode Island, obviously, he's not as adept at running that entire route tree or having the highest level of competition, but 6'2", 220 pounds, looked great at the combine running under 4.5, somebody that should end up getting drafted. Joe Reed from Virginia is a kick returner, punt returner as well. Very productive, more of an underneath type of guy. That should get drafted somewhere in that sixth, seventh round area. And finally, James Proche from SMU is somebody that got a little bit more on the radar there during Senior Bowl week. Very skilled route runner, should be in that same range there. So, Paul, a lot of options here. And, we've taken a look at when the Dolphins drafted Jakeem Grant in a very deep 2016 draft. They drafted him late in the sixth round. He comes in, he contributes. They sign him to a contract extension this past year. So for a team that's very deep at wide receiver and also a draft that's very deep, the Dolphins could be finding some very good value here on day three.
They could. And Chris Greer, as we mentioned at the top of the show, and I'll mention it again here, he's a guy that no matter how good a position group is, and I'm telling you right now for our listeners out there that are going to be hemming and hawing that Miami doesn't need a wide receiver, no matter how good a position or position group is, if he sees a player that he feels is BPA and will be better than what's on the field, even if what's on the field is good, he's going to make the move to improve the position regardless of how good it is today and regardless of what other needs are out there. If he's got the ability to improve a position, he's going to. I can't stress that enough for our listeners out there.
Yeah, and my big thing is in the third day of the draft, you should not be looking at need of any kind. If you're still looking, if you're looking for a year one starter in the fourth or fifth round, I think you're doing it wrong. But in the first three rounds of the draft with what the Dolphins have, yeah, I think you should always lean toward best player available. My caveat to that too is there has to be a pathway for the player to get on the field and to be successful without cutting a also young talented player off from being successful as well. So we'll see what the Dolphins do here at wide receiver. A lot of mock drafts have them drafting one on day three. I'm sure some of the ones we have coming up will have one as well. And that will do it for our breakdown of, gosh, 35 to 40 receivers we probably talked about in this show in a half-hour segment. You can follow Paul and I on Facebook, Twitter, Spreaker, iTunes, YouTube, iHeartRadio, and Spotify. I'm Brian Cat NFL. Paul is Fanatic_pick. On Twitter, and if it's not on the right side and it's not on the left side, it's on the fin side. Solo D, take us home.
It ain't the left side or the right side, and it must be the fin side. It ain't the left side or the right side, and it must be the fin side. Listen, Dolphins fans across the land all tuning in to see what Brian Cat and Paul about to do again.
You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, excursions, and more in one place. There are over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from, so you can find something for everyone. And Viator offers free cancellation and 24/7 customer support for worry-free travel. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
Save big money at Menards. Gorilla tapes, glues, and adhesives are perfect for jobs around the house, indoors and out. Gorilla Heavy Duty Construction Adhesive has a 100% waterproof formula that provides a secure bond on any surface. From trim work to landscape block to hanging mirrors, it's all-purpose and holds in 30 seconds. Pick it up for your project and head to Menards.com to see all of our great deals going on now.
Save-